Welcome back to Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists. This week, Bow Wow, Woof Woof, Who Let the Dogs Out? It's these directors of famous dog movies.
Air Bud, Beethoven, to list a few. Dog movies are a huge part of American cinema. They bring families together and cuddles forever.
These directors and showrunners and creators of these movies have to make sure that their actors get on their barks. And we got to see what it's like to actually work behind the scenes of a dog movie.
So let's wag your tail, sit on down, and listen in.
It's really nice to see you guys all together. We don't ever get to get together.
No, not at all.
We really don't.
It's actually incredible that we're all here together and we get to talk about so many of our films. I love all of your guys' body of work.
Me too.
And what we do is so niche. What we do is so incredibly niche that it's not common that we get to meet each other.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're the Mount Rushmore of dog movies right now.
Yeah. Right? Wow.
This is it. We are.
We're the big four. They call us the big four.
People say working with kids is hard.
Well,
try working with a dog.
Uh-huh.
Try working with a dog.
Who
is what I say.
Who said that? George Burns, never work with animals.
Animals or children.
Who said that?
I guess
who
we're
said not, that?
Who said that? I think
who
it was.
Said, who did say it?
Who did
I think
say
it was George Burns or
so
George
who
C.
said
Scott.
It?
Did anyone
who
have their phones on them?
Was it Ridley Scott? I don't have a phone, no.
I think it was William Shakespeare.
Who
said that?
I think Margot Robbie.
She might have said that.
She might have been quoting the original person who said that.
So then who said that?
Jules Verne?
Now I read it in a quote a day magazine about Hollywood.
Okay.
Let's go around.
Let's go around.
Because I don't think they might know us by the dogs that are in our movies, but they might not know us by our faces.
Well, of course, I am Tiffany McFadden, and I wrote and produced and directed the film A Dog Searching. It is about a lost dog, a family who is searching for their beloved dog, Pippin. And Pippin has actually lost a dog of his own. So it's about a dog searching for his own dog. And the twist is that dog also has a dog he's looking for. Now, just to clarify, these are not puppies of the dogs. These are dogs that these dogs own legally. They went to the Humane Society, and they've actually legally filled out the paperwork to adopt these dogs of their own. So they're absolutely distraught. I mean, can you imagine being a human and losing a dog? That's so much more magnified as a dog, for the dog. Mm-hmm. That's such a strong emotion.
Well, and I loved your movie that you made a special web series where the dog went to the Humane Society. So there's a compendium. I actually got the DVD, so I got to see the web series.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome.
Yeah. And we worked closely with the Humane Society on that. We had to work with both the Humane Society and a lot of really talented animal trainers to actually physically get the pen into the paws of the dog. We had to teach them how to sign their own names because the Humane Society was really strict on this. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't legally let the dog have the other dog unless they could provide a signature. They wouldn't take a paw print.
Okay. It's classic. It's classic.
That's incredible.
Stuff right there.
And the poster of the dog holding a leash and the way the paw.
And looking confused, like, dude, where's my car?
It is.
Such
we took
an incredible
a lot of inspiration
poster.
From Dude, Where's My Car?
That's a great movie.
The alt title for this was Dude, Where's My Dog?
Oh, I'm glad you stuck with the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this
is
live action, right? It's a live action.
Oh, yes, live action.
Oh,
well, except for that one part at the end, but I won't spoil it.
No, we'll get to that.
Oh, my gosh. That's
it's
definitely
the credit sequence.
Not live action.
Yeah. Well, that's just text. Usually in a movie, you don't have to mention that the credits are not live action.
Well, it's animated. I mean, I think everything is so live action these days that it's so refreshing to return to 2D animation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You might
it's
consider
scrolling,
that.
Yeah.
Text scrolling.
These are artisans who are not celebrated anymore. It really grinds my gears when we don't give credit to the talented animation artists behind credit sequences.
I wouldn't consider them animation artists.
You know what? Let's move on.
I don't have to turn over that stone.
Agree to disagree.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. We're barking our way up here. Oh. So, yeah. Hi, guys. My name is Liza Ben-Simone. I have been writing and directing dog movies since I graduated NYU film school. My newest film, Dog Getting Hit by a Train, after drowning in an ocean, came out.
It is
Dog Getting
riveting.
Hit by a Train After Drowning in an Ocean came out. And I wrote that one before my first movie, actually, wow. which is what really put me in the dog filmmaking category. That was two dogs hitting each other so hard they explode, and one of them cries himself to death. That was the first.
What I love about your films is usually there is some sort of mystery of whether or not the dog is going to pass away. And right. like you always, it's that trope with dog movies where you desperately hope the dog won't pass away. But you tell us right away, dog is going to die in a pretty rough and graphic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm working on another one right now where we're playing with audience, like the numbers we're getting from audience reactions and how they're feeling in the audience when they're watching the movie. And I just love making my audience feel something. I think that's why I got into filmmaking. Mm-hmm. So my newest movie, we're working on a dog death every 10 minutes.
Wow, that's quite a ratio.
Yeah, and we're doing that. And to do that and introduce the audience to a new dog and then to kill off that dog every 10 minutes, we're really trying to bring people together. And I think what brings people together is dogs dying.
And is that an action film or is that some sort of horror film?
So that we're doing a little bit. I'm pulling from some inspiration. Love Actually is one of the pulls.
Oh, it's like,
like a New Year's Eve,
yes,
Mother's
like New Year's
Day.
Eve,
a ton
Mother
of different snippets of stories that are all tied together.
Yes.
And the stories intersect in some way, I would
die.
Hope.
That's
their intersection is that they all die.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
They're all meeting together in the afterlife. But I mean, we don't see that.
Well, you don't know. Exactly. Jennifer Garner maybe is the... niece of
maybe
of the other Beagle's mom who's lost her Beagle. You know, it's like I'm still
Jennifer
working
Garner's
on
the niece of the Beagle's mom.
I'm still putting it all together, okay. To be honest.
You know, I saw a still of the production that leaked. I don't know if you can confirm this, but it's of a dog holding up a sign that says you're about to get hit by a car, written in Sharpie, and another dog looking on from a higher window.
That leaked right after Greta Gerwig's Barbie film. Yep. Thing
I saw
leaked.
That on JustJared.com.
Same week. Yep. I can't get paparazzi away from my films because they're going to ruin it. I don't want people to know that those dogs will die.
Well, I want to bring this up. I think it might be because I'm driving around Hollywood. I see those yellow production signs with the arrows, and it always says, a dog's dying over here. So I think you should change the name of the production.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that is just natural bait. People are going to want to go to
Well, that's my S Corp, too. So oh, okay. I can't.
Dog's dying over here?
Yeah, LLC.
Is that a quote from a movie? I'm walking here. What's that from?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Was that Jules Verne?
Who said that? Greta Gerwig?
No, well, I heard Judy Garland said that in a way.
Okay.
I did think she said that in a way.
I do remember her saying that in a way. She went, huh.
I'm walking.
She sort of alluded to it.
She did.
Well, time for me to introduce myself. My name is Rudy Kund. I am really nice. It's really nice to be here. I love you guys.
Rudy, absolutely. Maybe the most legendary of us all.
Please, please, please.
Yeah, Rudy.
Look, I'm lucky to live the life I live every day. I wake up, I get my my wife to pinch me, and I get her to say, you're alive. Because I can't believe it's such a dream.
She has to do that every day?
She has to.
Does she ever get to sleep in?
She wants to.
Oh, she
yeah,
wants
I'll wait
to.
For her. If she's still sleeping, I'll wait in bed, awake. I'll be on my iPad or... doing the Wordle or whatever, and then I'll wait for her to wake up. And when she wakes up, I'll let her pinch me. I am the director and creator of Working Like a Dog series.
Oof.
The Working Like a Dog series, as you know, this dog, through some sort of stipulation, gets into some sort of intense job. So working like a dog lawyer, working like a dog doctor,
one of
working
my
like
favorite
a dog welder.
Yes. One yeah. of, working like a dog lawyer was one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Working like a dog sex worker? An incredible.
That was insane.
Yeah. And that one got me in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember, but I mean, I think you're validating, you know, sex work is work.
It was pro work. It
yeah,
was,
it's work.
It was pro sex work. It was also pro bestiality in many ways. And so it got me in a little little bit of a hot
water.
But
it wasn't. I mean, you had a limit. It was the dogs on the dogs. It wasn't anything else like that.
It was dog on dog. And that's the first one we've ever done dog on dog. Because all the other ones are, what's so exciting is, you know, they this is a dog in a human world. A lawyer, doctor, welder. Yeah. You
and
know
you can't
I mean?
Do that for sex
no,
workers.
No, bounce house operator. These were all really exciting.
And I love every line, every time in your movie there's that line. This dog can't be a bounce house owner.
Yeah.
This dog can't be a lawyer.
Yeah.
But that one dog sex worker, it was changed to, this dog can fuck.
Exactly. And another dog said that.
Joan Rivers was in that, right?
Joan Rivers, her last film.
And man, can we talk about the lead dog that you use for every film? I don't know if you sub him out, but man.
No, Chubby. His name is Chubby. He's a Rottweiler. He is my dog. He's my guy.
Chubby.
We actually have four. Chubby is number one. Chico is number two. Regina's number three. And Spot is number four.
Are they siblings?
They are siblings. Yeah, they all came from the same litter.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Congrats. I saw on the veterinary magazine.
The
veterinary magazine.
When it dropped on Vetline?
Yeah, Vetline, Animal of the Year, they did Shamu and Chubby.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shamu and Chubby.
Shamu got, again, what a comeback for Shamu.
I'm happy
to come back
Shamu.
This year. You
and
know?
That whale's been through a lot. So it's
and
really
so is
good
Chubby.
Yeah,
Chubby.
I guess we're fine with that now.
Chubby's been through a lot.
I think we're fine with
it. I think we're good with SeaWorld, and
I've never had a problem with SeaWorld. I've never had a fucking problem with SeaWorld. Those guys are making art. And when I talk about guys, I mean those seals.
And elephant seals.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah, Chubby has gone through a lot. Chubby had a big moment in the public eye when ripped Jennifer Lawrence's dress off of her at the People's Choice Awards.
So.
Was that staged?
That was not staged. That was not staged.
It looked staged to me. She was bleeding. I thought it was staged.
No. That was real blood. That wasn't staged bleeding. Yeah.
Well, was it staged when he got slimed with Dwayne The Rock Johnson at the Kids' Choice
That was staged
Awards?
Because you have to tell a dog if you're going to put slime on him. You
That's
have to
union
make sure
rules.
It's union rules.
And he understood it.
Yeah, my hands are tied on that one. I wish I didn't have to tell him because I'd love to see the surprise. So... Yeah, it's really exciting. We're really excited about our newest Working Like a Dog movie. It's coming out this year.
Which one is
Which
it?
Which one?
Oh, I'm excited
Title
to
leak?
Announcing it right here. Skydiving Instructor.
Oh my.
An instructor.
God.
Yeah, Skydiving Instructor. Working Like a Dog, Skydiving Instructor is going to be really exciting.
That's so excited.
What's the plot there?
So he gets hired as a skydiving instructor.
Okay, great.
And, Does anyone ever tell the dog he can't be a skydiving instructor?
You better believe. The pilot does.
It makes sense
to
me.
But he does anyway.
And he does it anyways.
My God.
It makes sense to me that he would not be able to. Out of all the jobs you've said, skydiving instructor seems like the most unlikely dog.
So is the dog strapped to a person as he falls through the sky?
And is he telling the person what to do?
Yeah, because he's not just a skydiver. He's a skydiving instructor.
He is. He's an instructor. He's mostly working with other skydiving instructors to teach them how to skydive. And then you gotta see there's Chubby pulls the cord. And that was a really exciting trick for us to show him. Being in midair with Chubby trying to teach him as we're flying to pull a cord was so thrilling. And all the food in my mouth that I usually keep in there as treats, definitely difficult to keep in.
You're a legend.
Why do you keep it in your mouth?
Well, because it's warmer in there.
What?
You guys don't when you're training your dog, you don't keep food in your mouth?
No, I keep it in my sock. It's warmer in there.
This is a real thing that people do at dog shows. They have little food in their mouth that they feed their dogs. This is what I do.
In their mouth?
They keep the food in their mouths, yeah.
Oh, this isn't a weird thing.
No, this is real.
Okay, then I take back what I said. Okay.
You're a legend.
Why don't
you're
you
legend.
Introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. What's up? I'm Glenn Army, and I'm a Christian dog filmmaker. Recently, you might have seen my movie, Passion of the Dog. It is a beautiful retelling of the story of Jesus, but everybody is a dog. And it's a beautiful story, and it's getting some buzz, and I'm really excited to talk about that. You know, it's coming out in specific Christian theaters very, very soon.
Now, would you say the buzz is positive or negative?
Yeah.
The buzz is both positive and very negative.
Hey, good press is bad press.
Hey, that's what right. I've been saying.
Who says that?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Margot Robbie?
It's gotta be Jules Verne.
Chubby?
So anyway, yeah, I'm getting some bad press. I mean, We'll just jump to it. The crucifixion scene. People did not appreciate that. People have not been liking it. And I'll go on the record here. It was not real. We did not actually crucify that dog.
That's great.
But it does look like we actually crucified that
it
dog.
It does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
the footage that was released on Vetline it didn't look good, I'll be honest.
Yeah, didn't look good.
It's controversial because you can't really get a dog to splay their arms out like that. That's just
You can and we did.
You can, but it doesn't look natural, as if a dog strapped to a human falling out of a skydiving thing.
Right. That was natural.
Because I know your work. I know you care about animals. I know that you don't cut corners on animal safety.
No.
So I would imagine, did you have to find a double-jointed dog to be able to do that?
We found a dog that could just stretch a little wider. We didn't go full T. We went more of a Y situation.
Oh, so you went kind of a, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was
tough
like
for
a
the
YMCA?
Tough for the cross. And then we did a couple shots where we just got the dog. We put fake prosthetic dog arms on it to get the full T.
See, but that dog was a dachshund, and putting fake arms on a dachshund, I find just inappropriate.
They look like Great Dane arms.
Well, yeah. So the
huge long arms
on this wiener dog.
Well, I had to match it. It felt like he had such a long body. Wouldn't he also have long arms on the cross? I don't know. It just worked for me.
I just can't imagine a dachshund walking with long arms like that. Normal dachshund legs. I can't imagine it ever getting off the ground.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It's just a little old fashioned to me. We don't tell a starlet actresses to get boob jobs anymore.
I keep my dogs natural.
It wasn't a surgery. It was prosthetic. It was prosthetic.
Sure.
Sure. I want to go on record and saying, out of all the people here, I like your films the least.
It just felt like that.
I do.
I don't know what happened.
That.
And this is the thing.
Well, it's good to start the discussion with like a base understanding of where we all.
Yeah. So, is the thing. It's been an uphill battle for me because I find the power of Christ so compelling that I have to fight for him. And I find that the best way to tell that story was through dogs.
Now, can I ask, what makes it the best way?
I think you get rid of people and you get to see dogs. And that's why you get it.
You just enjoy seeing the dog.
Well, I think it's stronger. You're going to get a famous actor to play Pontius Pilate? No, get a pug to play Pontius Pilate.
I did love that.
Yeah, Puggy the Pug. He played Pontius Pilate.
Do you think the gospel isn't enough on its own that you need to add puppies to it?
I think the gospel is more than enough on its own that I don't need humans ruining the words. I need dogs retelling the story.
I got a question because I can't stand to talk about this anymore. I got a quick question for you guys. So when it comes to writing, you know how musicians, it's like the lyrics or the melody.
Ugh.
When you guys make a movie, is it the dog that comes first or is it the story? Do you find the dog for the story or do you find the story for the dog?
Oh, I'm definitely dog first. Mm-hmm. I take generals with a lot of dogs. So I meet a lot of dogs and I'm lucky to have some good relationships with a lot of dog agents.
What dogs have you met? Because I also take, I'm sure we all do a lot.
Oh,
I've met, a lot of dog
generals. There's this up and comer I'm really excited about, Rudy. Poodle mix?
Rudy Poodle mix, yes.
Do you guys feel that?
Came up through ASPCA.
Yes. Came up through, straight through the system.
Through the system and is really, really just like
great
has
personality.
That charisma.
Yeah.
Great personality. Yeah. I'm not ready to cast him yet, but he's almost there. And
I think he was at the Petco classes.
He's Petco trained, which is so
great.
Valuable
Petco,
for
Petco. Yeah, it, well, Petco for me is an institution. You know, you're going to get a good dog. You know,
same with SeaWorld.
You're going to get a good. Yeah,
this is a great question for Tiffany. I think everyone wants to know out there, if you're a young dog actor, you have a dog, what are some common mistakes that people make in dog generals?
Oh, well, I would say, I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I have interacted with a young dog, like a puppy. You know, they're green. They're straight from the puppy farm, and they come and meet me, you know, at Sweet Green, and they try and pay for my fucking salad. And
so that's the wrong thing to do.
That's the wrong thing to do.
Your generals
deeply offensive to me because it implies that I, as the human with a check or a debit card in my hand, that I can't pay my bills. And that really, frankly, grinds my gears in a way. Also, wagging too much.
Are you
wagging too much is a little desperate for me, especially from the puppy farms.
You can't wag too much either.
Frankly, it's inappropriate.
It's a bad look.
Well, and on the tape, the wag is so frenetic. It doesn't show up well on camera. You need to be able to control the wag.
No, because it does, it alters the autofocus of the lights. And so it's like a seizure effect.
It's a frame rate thing, too. It's a frame rate thing, too.
Do you guys feel like all your generals right now are golden doodles? Because I want to talk about the golden doodle and what that changed to our industry. And because I as someone who's pitching movies to studios, I just kept hitting a wall lately where they said, is the dog a golden doodle? And I said, are you gonna finance it if I tell you it's a lab? And they say no. These guys want these golden doodles. And frankly, I won't work with them.
Well, that's I was kind of forced to make Mary the golden doodle, which was tough, you know, because it doesn't really make sense that the golden
and that was the studio.
That was the studio.
Yeah,
yeah. So, so the studio was pushing. I luckily got to make Jesus Christ a wiener dog, and Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, was a golden doodle.
Not so.
And the studio was down my throat
because that also implies that God is what kind of dog when he impregnated Mary, because it's a dachshund.
It's a dachshund with Great Dane arms. Let's make it clear. Golden Doodle mother.
And one
and a
golden
Pacific
doodle
Palisades
mother.
Golden Doodle mother.
So
it makes sense to me. I don't know what the problem is. Because for me, it makes sense because God and dog. Flip those words.
Yeah, well, I'm not denying that
flip
God is
around.
A dog.
Flip
I'm just saying that the
just
genetics
figure,
of what kind of dog he is.
And also, Golden Doodle themselves, they're so privileged. You said Pacific Palisade, exactly. I mean, they're so entitled, they're so privileged. They're not natural. They're not of this earth. You know, they were created.
They are
in a
not
lab.
Of this earth.
They have these two animals, you know, a golden retriever and a poodle. They should never have crossed paths.
And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I hear this a lot, actually, from golden doodle actors is, oh, I can't get a job anymore. Like, everybody, like, they're, well, I guess that's a poodle hire. And it's like, it's so it's like it's not true. It's like they're coming from a place of privilege. They have been dominating for so long.
Absolutely.
Like, it's time to let somebody else in.
They need to get over themselves. Okay?
They need
because
to get over themselves.
That's why
it's
I
pathetic.
Work exclusively with Rottweilers. Rottweilers, albeit the scariest dog on the world. Albeit the scariest dog on the whole world. But I like saying, hey, this guy's scary, but he does something fun. And he's doing something a human could do. I like to break the mold.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because Rottweilers are also genetically modified, just like Golden Doodles.
I think so.
Any dog with
no,
a
Rottweiler,
brand name
no,
has been...
No, speaking of God, Rottweiler is from the creation of a God.
Yeah. Rottweiler, wild.
Oh, is that in the what in what in the Bible or in...
In the dog wiki page.
Oh.
Oh, so it's on the dog wiki page. It says Rottweilers are from God.
I thought you were quoting a religious thing.
No,
forgive
you were quoting me. I put that on the wiki.
You did?
Yeah. Guilty. I'm like Banksy of the Rottweiler wiki page.
So I've got a question because I know we are working with a lot of dogs, and sometimes dogs on set can be divas. What are your guys' strategies to get around that? I'll go first because I know I'm kind of against the fence here, like kind of what's happening to all Christians around the world.
Don't make this about me.
I don't have a problem with. I'm also Christian. I just don't like your attitude or your products.
Well,
I'm also a Christian too.
Well, I just don't know about that. I just don't know about that. So what we do on our set is what we'll get into is if what happened unfortunately on our set was because we had so many dogs at one time, there was a lot of fights. Well, feeding time was a mess every time. A break for lunch, fighting. Fighting. What we ended up doing was doing a caste system type of setup where certain dogs were elevated to royalty and other dogs were kind of the servants of those dogs. And it really worked well for the dogs.
Would you say that that is biblically supported?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. In the Bible, you can definitely get situations and feelings of like a situation where some people were elevated, like Moses and his family was much higher than all the people that he was, you know.
So what breeds are you putting on the lowest rung, and what breeds are you putting on the top rung?
Well, obviously, Dachshunds and wiener dogs are going to be at the top. That's Jesus Christ. You know, you got to put that at the top. Sure. And then mostly I'll give it to the pugs. Anybody that had a status in the movie.
I love working with pugs.
Yes, pugs.
Pugs are so fun.
They're hard workers.
They're really fun.
They really dial in, and they memorize. They, like, show up ready to work, you know.
They're really tough for I know my sound guy has a lot of trouble with them because they breathe like
oh, bulldogs too.
Oh, you don't want to mic them up that close.
Specific boom op when I work with pugs or bulldogs, and the boom op is it's a certain type of sound.
You gotta mic a pug from far away.
I won't even let a pug when I'm auditioning a dog for a movie. I won't let pugs in because I can hear them in the waiting room. Yeah. It'll distract me during the audition.
It messes up the other takes.
But they work hard.
They work hard.
They work hard.
They're the workhorses of dogs.
What dog will you never work with?
Oh, I will never work with... I will never work with a dog that doesn't have a sparkle in its eye.
So not a specific breed,
no,
just a feeling.
It's a thing. No. It's a thing I look for. I look for something that will break my heart.
Right.
And if you are just glazed behind the eyes and there's not a lot going on in there, that's not going to cut it for me.
Well, that's interesting because you famously, all of your dogs tragically pass away in your movies. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of dog do we want to see pass away? Like, is there something you look for in like, oh, that would be a good dog to die?
Exactly. It goes from story to story. But no matter what, the dog must be. It must be an angelic, like, looking dog, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be the most full of joy and full of love, because then we will get the most mileage out of the death.
Right.
And we're looking for dogs that connect with my actors as well. I always – let's talk about chemistry reads, because
it's important.
I was looking for a dog got hit by a train after he was drowned to death in the ocean. I had a specific lab. And he just was this beautifully symmetrical snout. And I loved him. He was such a good listener, really great. We brought in Gerard Butler. And when they...
Is Gerard Butler trying to save the dog or trying to drown the
dog? Well, that's his dog in the movie. And he loses the dog because he's a surfer. And
he took him out too far.
He took him out too far. And he feels awful. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the lab, I wanted to look like the ghost of Gerard Butler's character's wife in the movie who died.
So did you cast a woman who looked like that dog?
So then we had to bring in, we first had to do the chemistry read with Gerard Butler and the lab. And then I had to bring in Marion Cotillard to see if she looked like this lab.
See, and I wouldn't.
You brought
her
into the room to see if she looked like the picture.
I wanted them to have the same energy. So I made Marion Cotillard run around. And I made our lab at the time, Bunny, I made him run. And when I felt that both, it was between Marion Cotillard and Lindsay Lohan. And when I...
Between those two people.
Between those two.
And...
How'd you get down to those two?
How'd you get between those two?
It's all about Bunny. Okay. Bunny was connecting and had the most... I was like, this dog in another life was either Marion Cotillard or Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. And finally, we put it together. I was like, it's Marion.
But that makes sense to me, yeah.
That checks out. I would say a lab and Marion Cotillard, that is probably not who I would cast.
Well, it's energy.
Marion.
It's energy.
It's energy. And that's interesting. That's where you and I differ. You know, if I'm casting someone, I'm going off eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. I'm doing exactly the same type of face, but you put on a dog's body.
Do you? What kind of actors do you like to work with when you're dealing with exclusively Rottweilers?
I like to work with actors who aren't going to pose any threat or move fast. So slow actors, cautious actors.
Betas.
Michael
Betas.
Cera. Yeah.
Michael Cera. Stephen Root. I'm talking about Dom DeLuise, rest his soul, when he passed away. And
such a good actor for dogs.
Really, really good. There's a lot of... Oh, Jeff Bridges now. Really great with dogs.
Oh, young, though. Not a Rottweiler.
No. If Jeff Bridges walked into a Rottweiler office, I mean, he'd be walking out with his ass in his hands. That's for sure.
Well, my favorite was when you did Dog Lawyer.
Working like a dog lawyer.
Working like a dog lawyer. Jeff Bridges goes into the courtroom and goes, "This is my lawyer."
Yeah, exactly.
And the judge drops their mallet.
Yeah. Chubby, playing the character Doofy at the time, came in to the courtroom. You know, Jeff Bridges was accused of murder, and he didn't do it.
A horrible murder.
A horrible, horrible murder. He killed the entire burn victim unit of a hospital. Killed everyone in the burn victim
allegedly.
Unit.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
And he didn't do it. And he didn't do it. You know what's crazy?
Why again did he hire the dog? What was the reason?
Because no one else would take it, because it was so clearly guilty. And the dog saw something here. He wrote on a whiteboard, I think we can do this.
Incredible.
And he won the case. What's crazy is that movie, originally, I got that screenplay from this really cool guy, Sandy Keene, and he didn't write it for dogs. That was my first working like a dog. And he went everywhere, and he tried to get it made with humans, and I said, look, that's not working. I think I got something.
Because that
Trust
just sounds
me.
Like the story of a lawyer.
Yeah, you must have changed the script so much.
I should have changed it more. I should have changed it more looking back on it because it was so serious. I should have changed it to more of a light crime.
Yeah, you know, now that I'm remembering, there was that scene with Jeff Bridges' son where he's like, you will never, where he confronts the lawyer and says, I think my dad might actually be guilty because, and then he talks about the abuse.
Right, Jeff Bridges' son.
About how he hits him.
Right, played by
Greg
Kinnear.
And that's like absolutely heartbreaking.
I mean, when.
Oh, it's such a good part.
But it's
of
a very
movie.
Human adult theme.
Yeah, it was really human. And then there's that lovemaking scene between Doofy and his wife, played by Deborah
of
Winger.
Of course, and all the drug use.
Yeah, a lot of drug use.
My God, the drug use was insane.
I've never seen a dog rail cocaine that fast.
And you know what? Here's the trick. That wasn't cocaine. That was crushed up milk bone.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely.
I really thought it was cocaine.
I thought it was cocaine.
No, yeah, it was milk bone.
You know, can I tell you? Oh.
No, go ahead.
Can I tell you? My boyfriend and I, we send that gif of my boyfriend and I were trying to see a movie, and I was like, can we pick up takeout? Fast enough before the movie. And then he sent the gif of you're the dog lawyer saying, I think we could do this when he wrote it on the whiteboard.
I don't quite get what you're saying.
No, I get what you're saying. So it's one of those, gif, maybe you're not online.
What's
but,
a gif?
So a gif is sort of a moving picture.
But not a movie.
Almost like a movie.
Okay.
So halfway in between a photo and a video. So
it's kind of like Harry Potter newspapers.
And people use them to react to certain images or certain life situations.
Where do you go to get them? Do they sell them?
No, so online. And you can also actually make one for yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
I could make one?
You could
and
make
they,
one.
And they use your movies so much.
I think we can do it is a really common.
Oh, yeah.
I got to call my agents. I don't know.
You can't make money. No.
No.
You can't?
No. No.
Why not? They're using my stuff.
Well,
GIF residuals should be a thing.
They should be, but, you know.
We'll have to talk to the dog
The world
union.
Is really hard on internet dog creators union. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bless
so them. Hard. So hard for internet creators
Bless
right them. Now.
I want to talk about how you're casting your dog's dogs.
Yes, that is
How
fun.
Does that
That's
work?
Interesting to me.
So it is a lot of chemistry reads between the dogs together. I have to see, can the dog carry the other dog on a leash in a way that is convincing, in a way that looks like this dog is owned by this dog. A lot of times, if I bring in, you know, I'll bring in like a pug to be the owner of a Chihuahua, and it'll walk around with its leash in its mouth, and I have them walk around the room. But sometimes what'll happen is there's a power dynamic that switches where the dog being walked thinks it's the one walking the other dog. And so there has to be a very clear dominant-submissive relationship
Wow.
so that the dogs understand, okay, no, do you remember in the previous scene where I had you walk up to the ASPCA receptionist and I had you say, in human words, can I adopt a dog today? And you had to wait for the receptionist to go away. Do you remember that? And then she came back with a cup of coffee, and then she came back and she gave you the paperwork.
This
and
is
then
exactly
you had...
what you're saying to the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, and then you that waited for 15
like
minutes, and then she said, I'll
directions.
Check your identification. And then she went into the other room, she photocopied it, and she said, this will take about 24 to 48 hours to process. And I said, do you remember that? And if they can't remember that, then it's just not going to work.
How do you have that conversation with a dog?
Well, so I sit him down, and I say, do you remember when we went into the ASPCA? And you walked up to the receptionist.
You just say exactly that. You say exactly that, don't you? You say exactly that.
Well, yeah, I paint a picture for him because sometimes, you know, a dog, their brain's not quite as big. They don't, like, if I tell you, do you remember what you, when you went to the store the other day, you remember how you walked up to the cashier and you said, I can't find the lemons, where are the lemons? And then she said, why don't you go over here and.
How do you know that? How do you know I did that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's emanating off your face. It's very clear. And then she helped you with the lemons. And then you said, oh, this is actually a pretty good deal. Four for $3. That's not a bad deal on lemons.
It's a good lemon deal.
That's exactly what I
four
said.
For three.
Four for three. That's under a dollar each.
That is.
That's a hot lemon deal.
And that's why you thought it was a good deal. So then. Wait. Then you brought it back, and then you struck up a conversation, and then it turns out you both went to the same high school, and you might get drinks later this weekend.
That's exactly what happened. That's emanating off my face.
Yeah, I read people really well.
Wow. I have a question for you about working with the ASPCA, working in these shelters when you're shooting.
Yeah, let's just move on from that.
I just said, if we start talking about that, I don't know. I don't understand.
No, I understand. I understand,
My brain won't be able to fathom it.
No, we should get off it.
Oh, my question about working at the ASPCA. Yes, sir,
please go ahead.
And then we can get back to your pretty severe psychic abilities. Is it weird when you're going into these shelters? Do you feel like you're being, for lack of a better word, hounded by these amateur dog actors trying to get discovered? Is it annoying? Is it difficult?
So for you,
I cannot walk down these aisles. I cannot walk down because all of these dogs are saying, woof, 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 notice me, notice me, notice me. I'm like, quit auditioning. My God. It's like, it's, you know, it's desperate.
Yeah.
You have to, and this is why it's so important to go through reps because you get dogs who are not going to be scratching at the cage, ready to get out.
I hate that. I hate walking down the street and a dog rolls over for me, shakes, like it's just doing tricks. I'm like,
buddy. No, it's like, oh, you just happen to be doing that.
Imagine me. If the amount of dogs that play dead for me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My God.
Funnily enough, doesn't happen to me a lot.
That is funny.
Oh, you know. Do you guys,
would you
find dogs are not Christian these days?
No,
is that what you think
the
problem
thing
is?
For me, dogs have lost faith. Dogs have completely lost faith. It's tough to see this new generation of dogs are not going to church. They're not showing up. They're not coming
not
to
like
church.
Not like the old generation.
Not like the old generation of dogs who were there on Sundays.
I do. My grandma used to talk about a chapel full of barks. She couldn't even hear the sermon because dogs.
Oh,
that's how it used to be. She was
not like
out.
That anymore.
Part of the film, too, was reintroducing, telling dogs they can come back. They're welcome. They're roles for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Australian shepherds are going to be such good Roman guards. They are going to guard the sarcophagus of Jesus like they are supposed to, you know?
Yeah, Australian shepherds are believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shepherds in the title, you know?
Exactly.
Can you guys go to parks anymore? I can't walk into a park.
No, I can't think about work.
Talking about getting hounded.
I can't
think about work. I can't think about work. Parks. I can't go down to the dog food aisle. I mean, do you guys have dogs at home?
No.
Oh, only cats. I'm a cat person.
No,
absolutely
not.
No.
I have a lizard. Bearded dragon.
Oh, that's that's a pet.
Those
King
are
popcorn.
Good. I have a betta fish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I have a cat with one leg.
Okay. Well, I think what's interesting is the more and more this episode goes on, I'm realizing something.
What, Glenn Army?
Very, very specific about our conversation.
Yeah, Mr.
Today.
Army, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you guys
Glenn
felt like
Army
this, continue. But. Does this conversation this whole day kind of feel like we're just lightly skidding around the idea of eugenics? skidding around the idea of eugenics with dogs, like trying to create the best breed of dog. What is the best breed? Don't work with dogs at the pound, you know? It's just interesting to me that this whole episode we've kind of been skidding and scurrying around this whole idea of eugenics.
But, you know, I guess that's something we could talk about.
So you're psychic?
Yeah, so I'm psychic. Well, I'm only psychic when I encounter certain people. I would say I am psychic when it comes to filmmakers I disrespect.
Do you ever feel like you know how your movie's going to do before it hits? Like, let's talk about box office numbers.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good
because
idea.
Because I feel like we are used a lot with these big studios. I mean, I have a movie coming out either Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day. I'm like, guys, can't we just have it come out on a normal part of the year?
Because people have this obsession with dog movies. They think they're family movies. They think they're, you know, it's something that's going to pull on the heartstrings. So they really want them to come out around the holidays. Do you guys ever get pressured to put Christmas trees in the back of scenes?
Oh,
just to give it that feel, just to clue them in. And I'm like, my movie, a Dog Searching, is not about Christmas. Yeah. It very specifically takes place in July. And that's a very important plot point because one of the dogs loses his dog at a public pool. You wouldn't be at a public pool on Christmas Day. You wouldn't be there.
Oh, don't get me started.
And that's a conversation I've had with executives ad nauseum. I want to throw up
the amount
of times I've had to say this.
The amount of times I'm at Video Village and we're working and we got a good vibe going. And then I see a Warner Brothers exec wave his hand at me. Mm. And I go, if you're about to tell me that Gerard Butler needs to put a Santa hat on this lap, or God forbid, the amount of times I'm told when the dog is at the dog hospital connected and we have the beep, 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 they go, can we put a Christmas tree back there? At the veterinarian clinic?
Why would he be there?
They made me turn working like a dog mall employee into working like a dog Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh.
It, honestly, when I tell you that was the most soul-sucking movie I've ever made in my life. This wasn't working like a dog lawyer. This wasn't working like a dog doctor. No. This wasn't working like a dog tour guide in Hollywood. This was working like a dog Santa Claus, and I literally wanted to end my own life. I hated it.
They forced me when Jesus dog is curing the blind child to make him visible again, a puppy. They made me cover that set with Christmas trees.
Yeah, so yours makes sense that they would want to invoke.
How does that
Christmas.
Make sense? Okay, I was just wondering.
Because it's Christian.
So this is the thing, though. This is the thing. It's just, it's like we are being attacked from the inside. You know, our dogs are being attacked and our people are being attacked.
So can you confirm the existence of working like a dog gig worker?
Yes.
Yeah, I can confirm the existence. It exists as a script. It doesn't exist as a movie.
Okay.
It's out there. Nobody wants to make it because it's a little too insider.
Mm.
But it's cool. It's mostly my dog Chubby playing Doofy, filling out 1099s. And
driving Ubers?
Driving Ubers. Postmates.
Wow. Oh my gosh, do they do WAG?
They do WAG, and I do
want to
talk
a little
to you
about like
that. You. Because that's a dog walking a dog.
That is a dog walking a dog. And I was hoping that I wouldn't be the only one in this game who's talking about dog ownership. It's really exciting to see. I was hoping.
Had a dog walk the spirit of an old dog.
You had a dog walk the spirit of an old dog.
So it was a dog walking a dog, but the dog had died.
Mm.
And was the dog physically dead? Was it being pushed along or was it
We
a,
shot
an
it
idea?
Both ways. We shot it both ways.
It's good to have it both ways.
Yeah, especially when you're working
just
with
in
animals.
Case.
You have to just go for another one just in case. You
just
never
in
know.
Case. Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of dogs walking, actually, Jesus Christ dog to the actual crucifixion. So that was a powerful scene.
We got to wrap up. If anybody wants to say one quick thing to the camera, maybe to young dogs out there hoping to get into the industry, you can speak in human or you can speak to the dogs the way you want.
I just want to say out there, I know I talked a lot about mistakes that young dogs make when they're meeting with someone like me, but if I had to say anything, it's just be yourself, you know? Don't bark when you're the kind of dog who woofs. Don't yap when you're the kind of dog who bites.
Yes.
So just be yourself. And for the pugs out there, woof.
I'll say for me, on behalf of my work and my body of work, I want to address that Voyage LA article about me. And I want to address that article because I don't like dog death. I like what sadness and the passing of one does to know what they meant. So that article saying that I monopolize on dog death is not... I want to turn that around. I love dogs.
So to clarify for everyone, Voyage LA is an article that you write yourself.
Yeah, you pay me.
And that is published on Voyage LA. So Voyage LA would have had to contact you. You would have had to put that information out there.
Nope, they wrote it. They wrote it.
You're the first person in history where Voyage LA has written an article about without unprompted.
In the storied history of Voyage LA.
I mean,
something everyone knows about.
Why would I reach out to a publication and ask them to write it for me? I don't know. Anyway, thank you.
Bark be with you.
This has been Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists answering the question on That's Why They Call It Show Business.
And if you are a dog interested in adopting another dog, please contact the ASPCA. Thank you so much.
Good night, Hollywood.
Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists is an improvised Hollywood Roundtable podcast created and performed and produced by Kylie Brakeman, Jeremy Colhane, Angela Giratana, and Patrick McDonald. AOAOAOA is a Sugar 23 podcast. Michael Mayer and Michael Sugar, executive producers. Liam Billingham, producer. Production support by Angelo Ristano and Anthony DiFrancesco. Music is by Gabriel Ponton. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the opinions of anyone who works on it, not even the performers, because this is an improvised podcast and we're stupid. Good night, Hollywood.